Hello, and welcome to Good News Gathering. If you enjoy this lesson, we invite you to check out Good News Gathering at one of our Sunday services. Visit www.goodnewsgathering.org for service times and directions to our ministry center. Now let's join teaching pastor Jeff Lyle as he presents today's lesson.
Peter Parker is a 15-year-old growing up in Queens, New York. Due to the death of his parents and his uncle, Peter is being raised by his Aunt May. By all outward appearances, Peter is an average teenager desperately trying to navigate the uncertain terrain of high school. But outward appearances can be deceiving. You see, Peter Parker is more than just an ordinary teen. Bitten by a radioactive spider, Peter has been infused with supernatural abilities, like the ability to shoot spider webs and superhuman strength. Driven by an intense desire to use his powers to fight evil, Peter is a teenager by day and your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man by night. His mentor is Tony Stark. Stark, also known as Iron Man, is a member of the superhero team called the Avengers. Stark has developed a high-tech suit for his young protege that enhances his crime-fighting ability. And with it, Peter experiences amazing success. But as you might expect for any teenager, playing the role of superhero takes some getting used to. And there are some awkward moments.
What's up, guys? Wait a minute. You guys aren't the real Avengers. I can tell Hulk gives it away. Oh, that was awesome.
Finally, here we go.
Good evening, Peter.
Whoa.
You have 576 possible web shooter combinations.
That is awesome.
It's my chance to prove myself.
We have a Spanish quiz.
You gotta get better at this part of the job.
I don't understand. Oh, I'm intimidated. Oh, hey guys.
Now Stark wants to break the kid in slowly. Let him fight low-level crime in his neighborhood. Give him time to mature. Time to harness his newfound powers in that awesome suit. And time to grasp the importance and the difficulty inherent in performing a valuable public service while maintaining anonymity. This is a tall order for a high school kid with superpower. Peter wants to be in the middle of the action. He wants to join the team of the Avengers. But Stark doesn't think he's ready.
To become an Avenger, are there like trials or an interview?
Just don't do anything I would do. And definitely don't do anything I wouldn't do. There's a little gray area in there, and that's where you operate.
Oh.
All right.
That's not a hug. I'm just grabbing the door for you.
All right, kid. Good luck out there.
Now, Peter manages to keep his identity a secret until one night when he slips back into his room after patrolling the city streets.
Okay. I'll level with you. I don't think I can keep this a secret. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I can't believe this is happening right now.
Peter's best friend, Ned, becomes Spider-Man's faithful sidekick. Ned is a behind-the-scenes computer geek who supplies Spider-Man with valuable information and advice while sitting at a computer. And Spider-Man will need all of the help that he can get because he's about to face an evil thug known as the Vulture. The Vulture and his henchmen are building weapons of mass destruction out of intergalactic debris scattered about the countryside during the Avengers' epic battle with aliens.
The joint venture between Stark Industries and the federal government, the Department of Damage Control, will oversee the collection and storage of alien and other exotic materials. Experts estimate there are over 1,500 tons of exotic materials scattered throughout the tri-state area.
Hey, Chief, we still have another load from yesterday. We're supposed to turn this in, right?
I ain't hauling it.
It's too bad. Could have made some pretty cool stuff from all that alien junk.
I tell you what.
Let's keep it.
The world's changing. It's time we change too.
Now, Peter takes on the Vulture, and initially, it appears that he's in over his head. Iron Man shows up to help him out of a jam. But in the aftermath, Tony Stark hits Peter with a life-altering truth.
What if somebody had died?
I was just trying to be like you.
I wanted you to be better. I'm gonna need the suit back.
But I'm nothing without this suit.
If you're nothing without this suit, then you shouldn't have it.
Think about that question. He says, if you're nothing without the suit, then you shouldn't have it. Think about that. What's he saying? See, it doesn't matter what you appear to be on the outside. If the inside doesn't match up, the appearance won't last. Sooner or later, what's on the inside will come out. Peter Parker appeared to be Spider-Man, but at the end of the day, it's just a cool-looking suit. That's all it is. If Peter's character isn't right, if he chooses to go off on his own and fight evil like the Vulture alone without the help of his team, as he did in this case, then failure isn't just a possibility, it's a probability. You know, a lot of people who show up to church appear to be Christians. But at the end of the day, Christian is just a cool sounding name. If their character isn't right, if they choose to go off on their own and face the evil that's present in this world without the help of a team, then failure isn't just a possibility, it's a probability. And Tony Stark would hit all of us with the very same life-altering truth. If you're nothing without the name, then you shouldn't have it. And friends, there's only one reason that any one of us can have that name. It's found in our focus verse, John 1, 12 and 13. It's up here on your screens. Let's all recite it together. Here we go. To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You know, it's only through believing in Christ and accepting him that we have the right to become children of God, to wear the name Christian. And that rebirth entails becoming a new person, changed from the inside out, becoming more and more like Christ each day, so that name Christian is truly indicative of who we really are. It's not just a name. It's a reality. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us and for this opportunity that we have this morning to dive into your word and to tackle this subject that we're looking at today. Who is it that I am designed to serve? Father, it's our hope and prayer this morning that as we get into your word, that each one of us will look at that and ask ourselves, who have you designed me to serve? And then, Father, help us to commit to serving others. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friends, this morning what I want to do is I want to introduce you to my son, first of all, J.D. Lyle. And J.D. has served as our worship leader here at Good News Gathering for the past 11 years. And in January of 2016, he came on as our operations administrator. And J.D., would you tell the folks just a little bit about what that job entails?
Yeah, so in late 2015, early 2016, the leadership team had noticed we're growing, ministries are expanding. There was a lot more going on around here at GNG, and one of the major needs that they felt was that they needed to split the overall vision of GNG, in other words, the direction of GNG from the day-to-day operations. And so they created really two positions. One, the teaching pastor position, obviously. Dad takes care of that part, which is the vision and the direction of the organization at large, from the operations administrator position, which really is designed to kind of take care of the day-to-day details and ensure that ministry areas are running smoothly and that there's leaders in all of those and that those things are happening. So so the I guess if you had to have an analogy, it would be kind of like GNG is on a track. Right, and it's a train on a track, and it's going in a particular direction. And Dad's responsibility really is to make sure that it stays on that direction and that it's going where it needs to go. My job is kind of just to make sure that the train runs on time and that there's a conductor sitting behind the wheel. Right, so that's really the overarching idea behind the position that I serve in.
Okay, thank you. And I also want to introduce you to this morning. Some of you have not met him yet, and this is Robbie Ballmeyer. He is our next generation director, and Robbie joined us in March of this year. And Robbie, tell us about your role here at Good News.
Yeah, sure. So we've just seen amazing growth here with young families and children, and so part of my job is just to make sure all of that is kind of running smoothly. So part of that was finishing up phase one, brought on, and if you haven't seen that yet, you really should stop by and check out phase one on your way out. The other part of that during the interview process was really realizing that there needed to be this unified solution to how we were going to do family ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, how we were going to do that. And so part of that, that's what we've been working on these past few months since I came on in March.
Okay. Now, you know, one of the cool things about the Spider-Man movie is that even though Peter Parker is just 15 years old, And he has this burning desire to help, to make a difference in the world in which we live. And he gets bitten by this radioactive spider and gets these cool superpowers, and he's transformed. He's not like he was. And the cool thing about the movie is he makes this decision to channel all those powers into good. And the same is true for Christians. You know, the Bible tells us that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, we don't just stay the way we were. We're changed. We're transformed. We become new persons. And that new life that we're to live has three important aspects to it that we want to look at this morning. And here at GNG, we believe that every Christ follower has, and they're going to bring the lights up so you can fill this in on your outline. And if you're new here this morning, you've got an outline. It's a white sheet with holes punched on the side, and it'll kind of help you follow along with today's lesson. But the first thing is every Christ follower, we believe, has a gift and a call. And JD is going to talk to us about that.
Yeah, so one of my favorite things about these kinds of movies, right, these superhero movies, is they all have this special power, right? Spider-Man has these webs that shoot out of his hands, and he can climb up walls and all these kinds of things. But he has this power that came to him of no choice in and of himself. But inherent in that power is a call. All right, I mean, think about it. Literally, if Peter Parker had all these powers, he could shoot these webs out of his hands and swing across streets and climb up walls, and he just never did it. All right? Inherent in any gift that you and I have is a call to use it. And one of the cool things is that Ephesians 2:10 says this. It's there on your outline. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." In other words, there is no accident about you. Right? There is no coincidence in the fact that you have the gifts and the abilities and the talents and the things that you have that you can use to serve others. He says, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew." You think about Peter Parker. He started as this just random, wimpy 15-year-old kid, but he gets bit by the spider, and all of a sudden he's different. Right? And there's these gifts that he has and this call upon his life now that's different. Right? It says, and God created us anew in Christ Jesus. For what? For what? So that we could do the good works, the good things that he planned for us long ago. In other words, our life is not just an accident. God has made us anew. When we choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and when we walk into life with him, things change about us. Right? And sometimes it's relatively imperceptible, but it does change. Our lives change. Check this out. That bullet point there on your outline says, "I am shaped to serve." I'm shaped to serve. In other words, you are created in a particular way at your birth. But then when you step into a relationship with Jesus, you are created again, created anew. And you are shaped in a particular way so that God can use you to serve the way that he wants you to serve. And that S, or that the word there, shape, stands for five different things. And the first is, the S is spiritual gifts. All right, many times I think what happens is we step into this life with Jesus, maybe we get baptized and do all that, but we don't necessarily recognize that something has changed. But what the Bible tells us is that when we are changed, when we are converted, when we stop living life on our own and we start living life with Jesus, that the Holy Spirit empowers us with particular spiritual gifts, these endowments of the Spirit that allow us to do things to serve God and to serve others. All right, things like teaching, for instance, is a spiritual gift. Wisdom is a spiritual gift. Leadership is a spiritual gift. There's a bunch of them, and if you come to class 301, we talk about all of this stuff very, very much in depth. All right, and I would absolutely invite any of you to come check out class 301 and go through that. It'll help you identify what maybe God has gifted you to do. But God gives us these spiritual gifts, and then he expects us to use them to serve him. The second thing is your heart. Heart. All right. What makes your blood boil? All right, there are certain issues and things that happen in this world that just kind of get under our skin, right? There are things that make us really passionate. One of the things that makes me super passionate is just getting to stand up here and lead worship in front of you guys. I think that's relatively obvious. All right, but it's a passion thing. All right, your heart, there are certain things about your life and in the world today that make your heart go up in flames. All right, and that may be different from me, but you have it, and it's a gift from God that you have a passion in your heart for something, all right, and you want to use it to serve. All right, the A is your abilities. Abilities. Some people have different abilities, like being able to sing, being able to talk in front of audiences without freaking out, to be able to pay really close attention to details and make sure that things get done right. All right, there's all these abilities that are out there, and it's interesting that the average human being has over 500 to 700 different abilities. Now, you probably don't think about it. And some of that includes, I know some of you are out there shaking your head, no, I don't. All right, yeah, you do. All right, now some of these things are pretty simple, like walking in a straight line, being able to talk in intelligible sentences, all right, not falling over every time you stand up. All right, these are different abilities. But think about the fact that you have so many things that you're capable of that you can use to serve God and other people. The P is your personality. your personality. God has given you a very particular personality. Some of you are introverts. Some of you are extroverts. All right? Some of you thrive on routine and, like, I have my to-do list and I get it done every single time. And then some of you, like, you have your to-do list and, oh, that looks cool. Let's go do that. Right? Right? You like variety. All right? But God gave you the personality that he gave you because you are shaped. All right? Your personality even is designed to work around how you can be useful to God and to other people. All right? There are great places in the world for people who wouldn't ever want to spend loads of time working with other people to serve the kingdom of God. All right? You don't have to be some flaming extrovert to go serve God. All right? Finally, you and I all have our own particular experiences. Every single one of us has a different set of experiences. All right, some good, some bad. All right, some fun and some painful. And it's fascinating to me that oftentimes we overlook the most difficult experiences of our lives when we're trying to figure out how we can serve. But one of the things that Dad taught me many, many, many years ago, all right, was that oftentimes our greatest hurts become our greatest ministries. All right, the thing that hurt me so deeply is a way to make a difference in the lives of other people. I saw it in my profession quite often. It was extremely frequent for a person who struggled with an addiction or a mental health issue to try to come back into the field to serve the people that were struggling with that once they overcame it. Right? This is a relatively frequent phenomenon, especially in the counseling field, but it's life. Right? When we have a life experience, In and of itself, that enables us to teach other people, right? The final thing I want to point out to you today is this. You are called to serve. You are called to serve. Every single one of you has an invitation from God himself to be a part of the great work of creating the church in this world and glorifying God, making a difference in the lives of people. Don't believe me? Check this out. 1 Peter 2:9. It's right there on your outline. But you are a chosen people. I want you to really pay attention to these phrases. Chosen people. A royal priesthood. Anybody know what a priesthood does? They work for God amongst people. That's what they do. All right. And God says this. Don't forget, this is the New Testament, right? This is Jesus and his disciples saying, you're like a priest. You're someone who is called by God, invited by God into the very work that God is doing in this world. Every single one of you. It's not just a select few. It's not a small group. It's everybody that this applies to. He says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. For what? For what? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You know, you think about the ways that we have to serve around here and the opportunities that you have. Whether it's, you know, going out there and serving kids, whether it's being up here on stage in some capacity, whether it's teaching someone, whether it's serving in the cafe, whether it's being out in the parking lot and making people feel welcome, whether it's cleaning this building so that things look nice for when guests show up. Do you know that every single time you pick up that broom or you play that song or you step in front of that group and teach, you know what you're doing? You're proclaiming that God called you out of darkness and into his light, and that same thing is available for the people that need it and don't have it. So you're called by God, every single one of you, to make a difference in this world.
Now, in addition to a gift and a call, here at Good News Gathering, we believe that every Christ follower has a time and a team. Psalm 139 says, you, referring to God, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In other words, God was intimately involved in creating you as uniquely you. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. In other words, we're not accidents of nature. We are one of a kind, tailor-made creations of Almighty God. And if God was intimately involved in creating you in the womb, then he was intimately involved in when you would come on the scene, who your parents would be, and what you would be in life, what he's calling you to be. You're not here by chance. You're here for a reason. That's why the bullet point says, God has placed me here at this time for a reason. And when we say here, I'm not just talking about here on this earth at this particular point in history. I'm talking about here at this church at this time for a reason. Because here at Good News Gathering, we believe that if God has brought you here, you're here not by accident and not by coincidence. You're here because we believe God brought you here because you have a gift to bring to the table, and he's calling you out. He's calling you to bring that gift to the table because this church desperately needs it. The only question is this: how is God calling me to serve during this season of my life? Think about that question in your own life. You see, Peter Parker had a desire to serve, but at this season of his life, he needed to serve as your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. After some growth and maturity and skill, then he might be ready to join the Avengers. But at this point in his life, he needed to be broken in slowly. And the same is true for Christians. I mean, we go through different seasons in life, and we serve in different ways at different points. In fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And in some seasons of life, God calls us to serve at very high levels of commitment and time expenditure and energy. And sometimes he may call you into a different ministry than perhaps you've served in the past. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need to get your batteries recharged. And we understand that here. Peter Parker also needed a team in order to be successful in his fight against evil. And he had his mentor, Tony Stark, and he had his buddy, Ned, working the computer. And like Spider-Man, Christians need a team. And when you think about it, God's call invariably requires us to rely on him and others. First, on him, because any call from God is going to be bigger than us. God's will always requires us to rely on him, and it will be too big for us to do on our own. For example, I mean, all three of us on this stage are here in large part because teams put us here. Teams of people make us what we are. I think about myself, and JD said that my job is kind of shifting into more vision and direction of the church and looking at the church where we're going down the road 3 to 5 years or something like that. But I don't do that on my own. The leadership team is hugely responsible for that. He said, I'm also responsible for teaching, and while that's true, I don't determine that. Several years ago, we developed a thing called the programming team. And those people every Monday night weigh in on what gets taught up here on Sunday morning, and they've made the lessons far better than they ever were before that team weighed in on them. JD, you got a team. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, among the worship band in particular, I have a team of three people that I work with to pick the music. I don't pick the music all by myself, and I certainly don't make all the decisions as it pertains to the band. One of the cool things that we do on a monthly basis is we have a monthly band. We call it the band fam dinner. I don't do anything with it. I show up and eat. Right, I have people that take care. They take care of it. They just do an awesome job, and that's just. I don't even have to do anything. They literally never consult me, and why would they? It's food. Like, but they do a wonderful job, and they don't need my help, and it's pretty awesome.
Robbie, you've been working with the team.
Yeah. You know, between just an office team from this perspective, each one of our age groups has a ministry leader and ministry leader teams that we meet monthly, sometimes even more often, and bouncing ideas and talking. I mean, no decision is just made in a bubble where I'm trying just to, you know, make something happen. It is bouncing off because I'm never going to come up with great ideas just on my own. And if I did, I'm going to think they're way better than they probably are. And so we need a truth teller, as Jeff says, to, you know, on our team.
That's true. Now, friends, think of Good News Gathering as a team. Now, JD is operations administrator. How many volunteers does it take just to put on one service here on Sunday morning?
So if you count all the volunteers that help get the building and the grounds ready, and then all the volunteers that make sure that Sunday morning works, we're running at approximately 128 people for every single Sunday service that are necessary to do this.
That's just amazing. And Robbie, how many of those folks are in the Next Generation Ministries?
Yeah, so birth through eighth grade just on Sunday morning is over 40 people to make that happen. And so, excuse me, so one thing we really want to do today is really challenge you, as we're talking about serving, to get involved. And whether that looks like Next Generation Ministries or whether it looks like one of the other, you know, 128 jobs, there's something to do that doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning, that your schedule, your time, can fit into a position that we have here that we need somebody desperately to fill. And so today, just because obviously I'm in charge of Next Generation and they gave me a mic, I really want to encourage you to consider getting involved with our Next Generation as we're moving forward. Those 40 people that we need, we'd love to double that today. And so part of that, we just ask your communication card. If you're interested in that, if you could just write for me, and we're going to explain what this means, but write G-Kids on that. If you're interested in serving somewhere birth through high school, getting involved, and it may not be Sunday morning, we don't expect you to have a master's in education to sit down and love on a kid. I mean, that would be ridiculous. We want to train you. We want to show you what needs to happen. And we have positions that are needed that, again, aren't just on Sunday morning. Buying supplies, looking at lessons, printing materials, things that we're running around sometimes on Sunday morning like a chicken with our head cut off. And we're saying, hey, if you could join our team and help us, that'd be huge. And so we just want to challenge you in some way this morning. If you're not already, get involved.
All right. Now, every Christian has a gift and a call, a time in a team, and thirdly, a purpose and a plan. When you think about Peter Parker, he had a purpose, and his purpose was to fight evil. But that purpose would never be fulfilled without a plan, a strategy for making that happen. And his plan had to include being mentored. It had to include having Ned work in the computer. It had to include learning how to use the suit. By the same token, every Christ follower needs to have a purpose. To become like Christ and to share his love and his grace with the world at large. But every Christian also needs a plan. And that's why we do the class series. JD talked about class 301, but the class series is designed to give you a plan for how to live out your Christian life. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. And today what I want to focus on during this last part is the purpose and the plan for the next generation of Christ followers growing up here at Good News Gathering. Studies indicate that for years, the church in America has been losing influence in the lives of children and youth. Children and youth are leaving the church at younger and younger ages. That's reality. And depending on the study that you look at, we're losing them at a rate of between 40% and 70% by their sophomore year in college. These are kids that are growing up, going to church week in and week out in churches, just like Good News Gathering. Now, last year, the ministry leaders in our children's and youth programs began meeting together on a more consistent basis in order to figure out how we could be better at effectively educating the next generation for Jesus Christ here at Good News Gathering. Our children's and youth programs have been producing outstanding ministry for years, but we realize that if God continues to bless us with growth, our ministries must change in order to accommodate that growth, and we need to change how our ministries operate in order to more effectively instill in them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so what we've done is we've developed a purpose and a plan for our children's and youth programs, and the purpose or the goal looks like this: a unified educational process from cradle to college that engages family in developing fearless leaders for Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. A unified educational process from cradle to college that engages the family in developing fearless leaders for Jesus Christ. Now, this unified educational process, what we're talking about here is age-appropriate learning environments that build on each other. And so there's a baton pass between each age level. And so what we're going to do is we're even going to change the names of our children's ministries. So they're no longer going to be like Bible Patch and Kids Connection and Fuse. It's going to be the Next Generation Ministries. And those different age groups will be G Kids and G Students. Okay? Now, we understand that we not only need a unified educational process, but we need to involve the family. And we're talking here about the church family and the families of the children. And when we talk about fearless leaders, what we're talking about is growing up young people who know what they believe, who know why they believe it, and they act on what they believe. And Robbie is going to tell us about the plan to make that goal a reality.
And no pressure, right? We are so excited, and I just share my heart here, because anybody that gives me 5 minutes of your time, I'm just going to, you know, tell you exactly what's going on here. But with this, what we're looking at to impact the next generation is an intentional strategy, an intentional strategy. And so part of that looks like unifying everything that we're doing. So again, as Jeff said, there's no more right now. There's Bible Patch, there's Kids Connection, there's Fuse, there's 180. And there's twofold of what that happens. One, it's very confusing for people who are new to come in and say, where am I going? And so now to just be very clear, especially for seekers as they come in, this is exactly where we're going. This is exactly what we do. The second, it just helps us to communicate with this intentional strategy with each other and with you as family of what's going on. And so part of the intentional strategy that we're going to do is going to be a unified, even curriculum. And so where we are teaching age-appropriate things to the children, but what we're doing with that is, again, is going to communicate as well to you guys what's happening. And so you're going to see a lot of information, and we'll talk about ways you can get queued up of what's happening there. The second thing is that we're looking at is intergenerational involvement. Intergenerational involvement. And so right now, when we think about adults to children, the current model is one adult for every five kids. All right, so that's our current 5-to-1 ratio. What we're suggesting here is a new ratio, and this is 5 adults for every one kid. It's a community. And now, don't, before you freak out, that we're not talking about, you know, putting 5 adults into one classroom for every one kid. What we're talking about is that you can have an impact on a child even if you're not in a small group type environment with them. Even if you're not their teacher, learning their name, saying hi to them makes a difference and makes a lasting impact. And so what we're suggesting here is this new 5-to-1 ratio is that we as adults are aware of the impact that we can have on the next generation. And again, they're leaving at an alarming rate. Depending on who you talk to, 40 to 70% say that by the time they reach sophomore, junior year of college, they will be gone. So I look around and I have 3 kids, 2 great ones and another one. It depends on the day. And so, but I look at them and if statistically one of them will walk away from the faith, that's not good enough. That's not okay. And so we have to start changing things. And I can't do it alone. I need you. Because you learning my kid's name makes a difference. You saying hi to them changes it. Makes them want to come back next week to see the relationship that they have. So finally, we need to start partnering with parents. Partnering with parents. There's a verse in Deuteronomy 6, it's there on your outline, it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Biblically, the Bible teaches us that the number one influencer in a child's life is a parent. Now, for some of you, maybe you're saying, well, I'm a grandparent. Parents aren't around. That's you. Maybe you're a guardian, a foster parent, adoptive parent. That's you. that you are always the number one influence in a child's life. However, a parent is not the only influence a child needs. And so with this, the studies have shown that if you average out all the hours that a church has with a child, a lot of times we have said, oh, I'll just get him into church. If I get the kid to church, then that will, that, oh man, they'll just be convicted. They'll learn, they'll just love it, and they'll keep coming back. But the reality is we only have, as a church, about 40 hours with a student. 40 hours in a year to impact a child. But a parent has 3,000 hours. 3,000 hours. I mean, just look at the difference there. And so what that tells us is that we need to start engaging with the family, reactivating the family to teach parents how to teach faith at home. And so what you're going to start seeing, and if you haven't already, is you're going to start seeing things, handouts when you pick up your kids that will say this, do this, talk about this. Maybe you're not a paper person. I'm not normally. So online, on Facebook, we have, if you search on Facebook, Good News Gathering Kids, Good News Gathering Students, you will get daily prompts. Talk about this, say this, think about this. We're going to provide you video resources, apps, websites, different things to go to as a parent so you can start having faith conversations with the kids in your life. And this works for grandparents, foster parents, it doesn't matter. You can start engaging them where they are right now. And so part of that concern for me is saying, well, I feel like I know the Bible, but I'm not sure how to relate that, say, to my 7-year-old. I'm not sure how to do that. Well, there's a couple different things we want to do for you. One, today, as you walk out, you're going to see a G-Kids banner hanging over, well, to your right as you walk out. On the table are these phase cards. So part of what we have partnered with is a group called the Phase Project, and they have been developing for quite a few years now, realizing that each child goes through different phases, believe it or not, right? We all know that. But to really think about that and be deliberate about the time we have. They say that we have 936 weeks from birth to graduation to influence your child. And so what this card does, this one says 4th and 5th grade, the phase when friends are the best, games are competitive, and you're confident your kid will insist, I've got this. And then on the back, anybody 4th and 5th grade parents right now? On the back, the I've got this phase. And so these phase cards are just introductions. There are also, and we can guide you to this, there are resources, entire phase books that you can go through as a parent, a journal for a year to walk through the I've got this phase or whichever phase you're in right now. And we want to encourage you that we say right now it's just a phase, you know, it'll pass. No, we want to say it's a phase, so don't miss it. Don't stick your head in the ground and just, oh, this time will pass. No, my 7-year-old, I only have 52 weeks of him being 7, and he'll never be 7 again. So don't miss it. The other thing we want to encourage you to do is download an app called the Parent Q app, and we just want to show this quick video for that.
From the day your child is born to the day they graduate, you have 936 weeks. 936 weeks of soccer practice and homework, and teaching them to use deodorant. 936 weeks to instill values, to build character, and to prepare them to face the world. You want to be a great parent, and we're here to help with each moment of parenting goal. Driving your 4th grader to practice. Saying goodbye to your 10th grader as he's walking out the door. Eating tacos in the kitchen with your 7th grader. Tucking your toddler in at night. These moments happen every week, and we want you to be aware of the time you have left, because when you are, you do more with the time you have now. We cue you with easy, just-in-time ideas of things to say, things to do, and things to think about to connect with the heart of your child. Our cues are grounded in God's big story, so your child can discover the power of faith in those everyday moments of life. Every cue fits the context of your child's developmental phase. We cue you when your high schooler won't leave their room, your middle schooler won't pick up their clothes, your 2-year-old won't stop talking. We help you understand these moments, and we help you connect. You only have 936 weeks. You can't afford to waste them. Parent Q, it's what we do. Download it for free today.
So the great thing about this ParentQ app is you are going to see a watch this video, a remember this, a say this with memory verses and cues for you that are actually, come August, are going to sync up with what we've done on Sunday morning. So even if you miss a Sunday morning, your kid can now know exactly what's going on. You can be queued up as a parent to know what's going on. And so we're really excited about that. And so again, I just want to invite you to join us in this adventure. Join us in this new step. And join the G-Kids team to get involved. And if you're interested in that, take out that communication card, write G-Kids, and this week somebody on our team will get a hold of you, and we'll get you plugged in. And you can say, hey, maybe I'm not a teacher, I just kind of want to observe. That's great. We'd love that. We'd love for you to be on the team. Again, that 5-to-1 ratio is so important.
All right, friends, everybody, as we've said this morning, every one of you has a gift, and every one of you has a call. Every one of you is here at this time, and God wants you to serve as part of this team. And every one of us has a purpose. You just need a plan. Now, friends, it's our hope and prayer this morning that as you look at your outline on the back, there's this box. And it's our hope and prayer that you'll look at that box and you'll determine what God is calling you to take as your next step. Maybe it's just this week is to open your Bible up and to recite that passage of Scripture that we've got there and to just read it over every day and ask yourself, okay, how does this passage apply to me? Maybe that's what God's calling you to do this week. Maybe you've crossed that line of faith. You're at that point in your life where you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've accepted Him as your Savior, and the only thing that you really haven't done yet is just to confirm that commitment in baptism. Friends, if you haven't done that, next Sunday night, we're having a baptism celebration. Just mark that box on your communication card. We'll be calling you probably this afternoon or tomorrow to set up a time to come in and talk about what that commitment means. Maybe it's to volunteer to help with the back-to-school free sale or to help with the next generation ministries, or maybe you just want more information about what it means to serve at Good News Gathering. Just check one of those boxes. And maybe what you can do this week as you walk out is you can grab one of those bags of popcorn, because next Sunday is our last Sunday in this lesson series. And maybe you hand that to a friend and say, hey, why don't you come with me? This has been a lot of fun. Friends, I don't know what God's calling you to, but I know He's calling you to take some action. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for this time that we could spend in Your Word, time that we could learn about the exciting things that are happening here at Good News Gathering. And Father, we're just so thrilled about what's going on in our next generation ministries. Father, help us to be a church that raises up fearless leaders for Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for this time that we could spend together today. Help us, Father, to be the church that You're calling us to be. For this is our prayer in Christ's name, and we all agreed together and said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this lesson from Good News Gathering. For more information, visit www.goodnewsgathering.org or check us out on Facebook.